experienced professionals.
Yes, exactly. Welcome, everybody, to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy you are with us tonight. We are wrapping up Mom Burnout. That is our theme for the month, and it's been a good theme with all this pandemic stuff going on. A lot of moms are burnt out, whether they're well, you're all homeschooling, but whether you had planned on homeschooling through April or not, maybe mealtime is something that is burning you out a lot. So we're going to try to talk about some things, especially about saving time tonight. I know, Shelley, I talked to you in January, and we talked about saving money. And so so definitely we may touch a little bit on some of those things tonight. But definitely go back and look at that or watch those videos, because Shelley had so much to share there. But Shelley has a website called Dinner for a Dollar. And why don't we get started with you just telling us kind of how that got started, and just what started your website and this whole thing about making food for a dollar a meal.
Yeah, well, so I started Dinner for a Dollar when my youngest entered kindergarten, and we had had little kids at home for 17 years because our kids are spread out. Uh-huh. And by the time my youngest entered kindergarten, we had homeschooled for a lot of years. And I looked at my husband, and my young two do go away to school. My older two are homeschooled. And mm-hmm. when my youngest entered kindergarten, I looked at my husband and I said, I got to do something outside the home. I was ready to shake the Cheerios mm-hmm. off of my cardigan and, you know, go do something. And so I actually prayed about it for a long time. Before I chose Dinner for a Dollar. Now, we had been eating Dinner for a Dollar in our home for 5 or 6 years before I wrote the book. Yeah. And I never intended on sharing this system with the world. It was just the system that we used in our home mm-hmm. to meet our family's needs. But yeah. It started 10 or 11 years ago when one of our kids was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And the primary treatment for his autoimmune disease was an elimination diet. Yeah. And during that process was the first time where we learned as a family the power of food, mm-hmm. that it can hurt or heal. And he needed to go on an elimination diet. But when we saw the changes that it made in all of our lives, mm-hmm. we decided to take that a step further and move not just into an allergy-friendly diet, but also a whole food diet and a diet that was rich in produce. And back then, this was 10 or 11 years ago, mm-hmm. I believed the myth that if you wanted to eat well, it had to cost a fortune and you had to spend all day in the kitchen. Right. And so for many years, 5 years or so, we were mm-hmm. spending, I didn't know this until later, mm-hmm. We were spending $2,000 a month on food. Wow. And then when we ran into some financial challenges, we had to really assess our budget. We took Dave Ramsey, we started taking our finances seriously, and we decided to cut our food bill in half. And so mm-hmm. I sat down, I looked at everything. I looked at every part of our food life, trying to figure out what habits led us to spend so much money on food.
Right.
And then I reverse engineered it. I have my background. I'm a therapist. I have my master's in counseling. And so mm-hmm. I am a professional change maker. And so I did that on myself. I'm like, uh-huh. whoa, like Houston, we have a problem. And then I asked myself, okay, how can I change this problem? And so I created a brand new system by looking at the flaws in the one that I had. And anyway,
yeah.
we overhauled our system and lived that way for 5 years. For 5 years, I fed my family whole food, produce rich, allergy friendly meals for $1 per person per meal. And somewhere along the way, I went from spending 2 to 3 hours a day in the kitchen, which is what I used to do, right. to getting it down to about 15 minutes Monday through Friday. Because awesome. we had more kids, we right. started more businesses, and uh-huh. we just got busier and busier. And I I looked at my husband, I'm like, I can't sustain 2 to 3 hours a day in the kitchen. This was, oh, I know when I developed this system that I'm going to share tonight, mm-hmm. was when we were still homeschooling all four kids, and you'll appreciate this. We had a preschooler, mm-hmm. a first grader, a junior higher, and a 10th grader.
Wow.
So you couldn't even combine
a whole lot together.
Nothing. That year, we couldn't combine a single thing. Our preschooler mm-hmm. and our first grader could do, like, you know, the science things and the literature right. things mm-hmm. together. But that particular year was like, I don't know, I had like, it was almost impossible, my schedule. And so that was when I developed my system for how I get dinner on the table in 15 minutes, Monday through Friday, because I was pulling my hair out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Something has to give, right? And it wasn't going to be your family, you know? And so
well, I'm sure it was my family sometimes. I mean, I remember that time. That was really stressful. I'm pretty sure there was a little bit of give in that family life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I forgot to mention when we first got started, I wanted to thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations, and we'll hear more from them about halfway through the broadcast. So thank you, Bookshark. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what you do. 15 minutes seems like no time at all. I mean, like tonight, I spent about half an hour because that's how long it takes to make rice.
Right.
And I had to make two different batches because my family eats different than I do now.
Yeah.
So how do you go about, you know, starting to, you know, make those changes? And I'm assuming there's some batch cooking involved
yeah.
in this too.
Yeah. We do what I call like fast batch cooking. So I had... of course, over the years, we've probably, as homeschooling moms, we've probably tried everything, all the methods to get dinner on the table without losing our minds.
Right.
And I have definitely done like the freezer cooking, you know, where you do a month at a time.
Right.
And those definitely help you save time and money. But our family doesn't really like eating food straight from the freezer to the crock pot to the table.
Right. That doesn't. There's a lot of families that I've heard, you know, say the yeah. same thing. It's like, oh, then it's like eating leftovers all the time.
Yes. It doesn't. I mean, it's fine some, but we don't like that as a full-time strategy. And so I was really looking for a way to have fresh seeming food mm-hmm. without doing the 30 minutes to an hour every single night at dinner. And right. so what we figured out, the system that we figured out is we, on Sundays, we take an hour or two. And we pre-cook just ingredient staples. And then we use those staples to create distinct meals throughout the week. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. as an example, we'll take chicken and rice yeah. and beans, let's say. And so on Sunday, we'll batch cook a large batch of chicken. We will batch cook beans, we'll batch cook rice, and then we will batch chop up all of our vegetables that we're going to use mm-hmm. till about Thursday.
Yeah.
Pre-chopped veggies can store about 5 days in a mason jar. Hmm. And they come out crisp as a daisy. I don't even know if that's a phrase. I just made that up. Fresh as a daisy 5 days later. So we pre-prep all of our veggies on Sunday, and we choose Sunday just because all of us are home yeah. and the little kids can fetch ingredients and scrub ingredients mm-hmm. and peel. And then the bigger kids, we divide up the veggies among the four of us bigger people. So mm-hmm. me, my husband, the two teenagers, if there's mm-hmm. eight or so veggies, everybody's in charge of chopping two sets. Okay, you're on mm-hmm. onions and carrots and, mm-hmm. you know, I'm on celery and cucumbers or whatever.
Yeah.
And so on Sunday, we do that. We batch cook our meat. We batch cook a couple of starches and we batch chop our veggies. And then we take those core ingredients mm-hmm. and we turn them into meals throughout the week. And people think they might get bored, but let me share how I do it so that it really doesn't become boring. We use lots of variety with this, but a simple template that we follow is we use those core ingredients to create 6 different themes throughout the week. A soup night, a salad night, mm-hmm. a loaded baked potato or a loaded sweet potato night, a taco night, of course. We live in Arizona, and so tacos are like a staple. You're in Texas, probably Texas, the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. We do some type of a skillet thing, like a stir fry or a hash or a burrito bowl or something like that. Yeah. And then an oven night or a grill night. So using the example of like the chicken, beans, rice, and all those pre-cooked veggies, you can imagine how on night one is when we usually do like our oven night or our grill night. And so that night we'll have like grilled chicken breast, some brown rice, and some grilled asparagus or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then the next night we've already got the pre-cooked chicken, the pre-cooked rice, the pre-cut veggies. We toss all that in and turn it into a soup. And then the next night we have a salad with all of those ingredients that we've had. And then the next night we have a stir fry. And then the next night we have baked sweet potatoes. And when we have a loaded potato, we don't put dairy or even dairy alternatives on it. We put meat and veggies on top, avocado and, you know, onions and peppers and mushrooms and jalapenos. And so we have all of those things. Anyway, and then we have a taco night. So those are all very distinct meals.
They are. And they have different, the seasonings.
The seasonings.
It has a lot to do with making it feel different and taste different too.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so each of those, because all of the ingredients are already chopped, they're already cooked. Mm-hmm. We're really just reheating them and then throwing fresh veggies on top. And because they're repurposed into different meals, it doesn't feel like leftovers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it just takes us about 1 hour to 2 hours on Sunday to put all of that together, because I'll throw the meat into the Instapots or into the roaster pan, and it's cooking in the background while we're chopping. And then I'll throw the beans and rice in, and it ends up really working out.
Yeah. If you have those different things in your house where you can put it all in and kind of just forget about it, then that makes it even easier. And it's not like it's a whole day of cooking, like the whole freezer thing where you're just slaving for basically the whole weekend.
Yeah, it's just cooking a couple of core ingredients. Mm-hmm. And we do that week after week, and we change it up. One of the things that we do to avoid boredom.
Yeah.
Because people always ask about this. They're like, I don't eat the same meat all week long. Mm-hmm. So, and we don't do that anymore. Here's what we really do. This is exactly how it goes in our house. Mm-hmm. We will cook 6 to 8 portions of whatever it is that we're doing. The meats, the starches of whatever sort. We will leave out 3 to 4 of them in the refrigerator. And we'll use those on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, maybe on Wednesday. We take the other 3 to 4 portions, individually portion them, we toss them in the freezer. And then on Wednesday, I go to the freezer and I pull out the stuff that we had batch prepped 2 weeks ago that's completely different. Exactly. So this week we did black beans and brown rice and we did chicken, right? Mm-hmm. Well, 2 weeks ago we did ground turkey and we did chickpeas and we did, we do rice every week. So I'm not going to pretend we have any other solution for that. We do use rice every week just because it's simple. Our family likes it and it goes in all those different meals.
Right. Exactly.
And so by switching the meat in the middle of the week, and then we do that. We can do that forever. If we use the same meat all week long, my family does get a little restless by Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
They'll survive, but everybody's completely satisfied if we switch that meat up in the middle of the week.
That's some really good advice. And it really doesn't take a whole lot. You actually save room in the freezer by cooking it and getting it, you know, into those tinier packages you can put in the freezer. At this point, our freezer is so full I can barely get anything in there because we went grocery shopping and I'm trying not to go for about a month.
We're shopping for a month at a, we're trying to shop for a month at a time right now too. And I have felt the exact same thing, like organization and, you know, exactly. Making sure that I'm staying on top of it.
I finally pulled out the we had taken one of the shelves out of our refrigerator to put bigger containers in for, I don't even remember what somebody was making. My son was probably cooking something. But I realized there's nobody's finding the stuff in the back of the fridge that they need to be eating. So that shelf is going back in.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's so many different solutions. And when you have teenagers, you know, that are reheating their own food and, you know, you got to make sure that they're reheating everything and not just burying some things in the back.
Yes. I totally agree with that.
We want to thank you if you're watching. And definitely if you have some comments, we'd love to have you add those too. If you have any tips or hints for cutting down kitchen cooking time or some questions for Shelley, definitely pop those in the feed as well. So, you know, saving time in anything right now is, you know, I guess, well, some people say they have a lot of time on their hands right now, but that's
not
only going to be for a while. Yes. And our schedule just kind of ramped up and I've got kids home that shouldn't be home because my son from college ended up finishing college and graduating. He's graduating next week from home.
Oh, so, wow.
So that's, you know, extra people to feed. And
so yeah.
There's a whole bunch of different things going on in our house. And so I haven't cooked for him in a while. And so, yeah, to plan for four adults eating and a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I cannot relate to the people who are like, I'm writing poetry and, you know, learning three languages right now during the quarantine. Because I'm with you that it's busier than, well, I mean, I don't know that it's busier, but everyone is home all the time and there's just no, there's no break from that. And that does create just a need for a lot more food. Like we're not eating any meals anywhere else ever. And definitely has created, and I don't want to spend my quarantine in the kitchen.
Exactly. I started enlisting a lot more helpers than I ever have.
Yeah, we have been too. Mm-hmm. And I love teaching about time, Peggy, because here's what I have learned is that people believe they can't eat well for two main reasons, because they think it costs too much money or it takes too much time. Yeah. I can't afford to eat well because it costs too much money or it takes too much time. I'm too busy. Mm-hmm. And so you and I both share a passion for eating well and for health and vitality. And so I love to break down that myth that with a little bit of strategy, you know, you're not just going to magically have whole food on the table in 15 minutes, Monday through Friday with no strategies. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
But just a couple simple strategies can make it so that you are, which will help you hit your food goals, even though you're really busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I found I'm starting to bash now because my doctor just made me go vegan and my family refuses that one.
Yeah.
Is that I'm batch cooking just for myself and then making their regular food and then just pulling my stuff out that I need, which is working fine.
Yeah.
So that's working well too. But
have you ever tried using mason jars to store your pre-cut veggies?
I use mason jars a lot, just because we used to milk our own cow and I have tons of jars.
Yes.
And we lived on a farm and raised our, you know, most of our vegetables. So tons of jars. But yeah, I even store leftovers in them and everything. So, but yeah, I had a big batch of beans with, artichoke hearts and some lemon and olive oil mixed in. And those have been great to just add into salads, you know, and flax seeds and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, definitely a whole new world for me. I never thought I'd say I'm I'm eating vegan. But that's the way life is right now.
Yeah.
So, but yes, it, I mean, if you want to make that change or you need to make that change, it is possible. And I,
it is,
you know, that's the hope that, you know, you can give people is, you know, like if you have a child that's on an elimination diet,
right,
it's not the end of the world. There is foods out there. And I think we talked about this last time was, you know, you just stick to the things that are packaged.
Right.
and, you know, it sometimes looks like vegetables like that are organic maybe cost more, but you know, I've noticed, you know, big bunches of carrots. You know, I buy organic carrots in a large bag for less than $2.
Yeah.
And that can be used for a lot of different things.
For sure. Yeah, I always teach any chance I get to teach families who are newly diagnosed with food allergies or who have food allergies or sensitivities and their budget is just blown up. I teach whenever I possibly can to focus on what you can eat and not on what you can't eat. Mm-hmm. Because when we focus on what we can eat and not on what we can't eat, we focus on creating a solution rather than focusing on the problem.
That's so true.
That's a mental break for us as families with food allergies. Because no matter how many allergies you have, even you right now being a plant-based vegan, your list of the things you can eat is still longer than the list of things you can't.
It's huge. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when we take our eyes and we focus on the list of things we can eat, which is infinitely longer, no matter how bad your food restrictions are, then we look at that and we're like, oh, and our subconscious mind can start creating solutions to the problem. Right. And it also helps us, like you said, avoid those processed alternatives to what we're trying to avoid. And so the second thing I teach families with food allergies is focus on what you can eat, but also focus on eating food that's naturally free from the allergies or sensitivities that you're trying to avoid.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It almost is self-defeating when you try to find a replacement.
It is.
Because, you know, it's like I was looking for yogurt and it's like, oh my goodness, there is nothing. Because I additionally like to go organic. I've always eaten organic. And when I had all the animal products taken out of my diet, it's like, what is there?
Yeah.
You know, because there really aren't very many options. And so, but when you focus on what is there available and how can I make this food so that I like it? That's a completely different change on that whole thing. I was thinking of a question and now I can't remember what I was going to. Oh, you had talked, the last time we talked together about not using recipes or how recipes can be a trap. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can. And, if you want to learn, so that I don't forget to say this, if you want to learn about how to cook without recipes and why that's important, I offer a free chapter from my book on this topic on my website, which is dinnerforadollar.co. So you can go there and you can get
that right here.
You can get, yep, you can get that chapter there. So I love to teach people how to cook without recipes for a couple of reasons. But first, let me say, I still use recipes. So just because I cook without recipes doesn't mean that I like never use recipes. Of course I use recipes. But when my budget used to be out of control, I was the kind of person where I saw recipes as like gospel truth. Mm-hmm. Like recipe must be followed. And I know that you can relate to this and probably everyone listening can relate to this. You're looking for a recipe and you're missing that one ingredient. Mm-hmm. And so you run to the store to grab that one ingredient. And while you're there, you grab about seven other things and you spend $30 to $40 running to the store to buy that one ingredient that you forgot from the recipe.
Right.
So learning how to cook without recipes frees you from that challenge. Mm-hmm. But also, I do teach that recipes can be budget busters. And here's a perfect example of this. If you see a recipe in Pinterest that looks great and it matches your food values, you know, let's say like a spinach salad with, you know, goat cheese and, you know, I don't know, on it. And so you put those ingredients on your list and you go to the store and none of those items are on sale. You could very easily, for a family our size or your size, end up spending $30 on the ingredients for that salad.
For
that
one salad. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or this might happen if you're, you know, you're bringing a dish to a baby shower or something like that. And, you know, all of a sudden you've just spent $40 on a shareable dish.
Right.
And so if you can learn to cook without recipes, or at least free yourself to make substitutions freely, then if you run into ingredients that aren't on sale or that are maybe overpriced, you can swap those out with other things and learn, you know, and save some money. Yeah. The other thing that I will share about what I love about cooking without recipes, and then I'll teach you how to do it for people who are wanting to learn that. Oh gosh, I just, there was a fly buzzing around and then I literally just forgot that I, learning to cook without recipes helps you reduce waste. And here's why. Before I say that, the average American is throwing away 25% of the food and beverages that they purchase.
Really?
And I haven't looked at the quote recently, but it's either, I think it's 100, on average, $133 a month that Americans are throwing in the trash. So learning how to reduce food waste, whenever I'm talking with somebody for the first time, I always talk to them about their food waste, because if I could help them reduce their food waste, I could help them save $100 just by not just by not throwing away their food. So if you learn how to cook without recipes, you'll reduce your food waste, because I teach something called a fridge check. This is where every 2 to 3 days you take 2 to 3 minutes and you check your fridge and
I've never called it anything, but I do the same thing.
Yes. Right? Every 2 to 3 days, take 2 to 3 minutes, check your fridge and see what needs to be used up. Mm-hmm. And when you see that little bit of chicken and that little bit of rice and those 4 carrots and those tomatoes that are looking squidgy and, you know, but they're not bad, right? Uh-huh. And so you can take all of that and turn that, those little bits and bobbles, and turn it into a meal. But if you're stuck in only ever working from recipes, what's going to happen is you're not going to use that little bit of chicken. You're not going to use those 5 carrots. You're not going to use those squidgy tomatoes. Yes. And at the end of the week, you're going to be throwing those out. Mm-hmm. And so not only did you miss the opportunity of using up that food that was there, but then you used other food in its place. So you created like a doubly expensive dinner. Mm-hmm. So I love teaching people how to cook without recipes and, you know, why that's important. Mm-hmm. So,
how to use all those things that, my go-to for leftover meat, because my kids don't tend to like roast, but I like to roast a chicken, you know, and then have some of the meat, is I'll throw it all in my food processor with some ground beans and make taquitos. And they love them. And it's like, oh, they're eating beans, they're eating meat and cheese. And it's all rolled up and baked. All I have to do is throw it in the oven for about 20 minutes. So I will have to get you that recipe.
You don't even need to give me the recipe, because I've already mentally.
Yep. All you have to do is put oil over the top of the, after you roll them up, 450 degrees in the oven. Yeah.
So my gosh.
I grind my chickpeas in my mill, because I have, I make my own bread from wheat berries. So I just throw my chickpeas in there and grind it into a powder, and you can make ground, just mashed peas or mashed beans in about 5 minutes.
So raw beans or cooked chickpeas?
I use the hard ones. I stick them in my mill, grind them up into a powder. I add a little, it's a 2-to-1 water powder, and it's a cup of cup of the powder and a half cup of water, and I just boil it up. I add lots of cumin and some spices in there, and then I just mix it right into the pureed meat and some cheese.
Wow.
And just roll it up and...
That's genius. So I don't think I have a blender strong enough to blend hard chickpeas because those are pretty hard.
They are, but you can pre-cook the beans and just mash them.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, right? Okay.
Yeah. It's amazing because my kids would never eat beans.
Right.
But they love those. And I actually had made, I made pot pie, and it was with leftover turkey that we had from Thanksgiving that was still in the freezer. And they didn't want to eat it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to repurpose this. We're sticking it into ketos, and they're gone. So,
well,
it is possible.
I have never made my own taquitos, but I am 100% absolutely stealing that, and I am so grateful. Because what a fun little treat! I mean, that's it. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're gonna love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how fast they go. And those are one of those things that, you know, you'd buy at the store, and they'd be full of junk.
They are.
And you spend a ton of money on the packaging versus the food.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and my kids, we've loosened our food a little bit during COVID just because I just want to have a few like meals that we can eat. And taquitos are one we can eat, even though they've got garbage in them. They don't have allergies. And so I actually bought taquitos last time that I shopped the first time in years. Mm. And my kids have loved those, but I just look at the ingredient list and, and I just get it and I'm like, oh, geez.
Right.
Anyway, so I can do that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, we're going to hear from our sponsor, Bookshark, and then when we come back, we're going to keep talking more about food and saving time and... anything else that we so I'll let you take a break, Shelly, and I'll be right back. So we just want to thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. They've been an awesome sponsor, and they sponsored every episode this month as we've been talking about mom burnout. But Bookshark is a homeschool curriculum that's literature-based. It's 4-day faith neutral. You can find them at bookshark.com, which is scrolling across the bottom of my screen. And Kim McNary, a busy homeschool mom, says, "My daughter is on the spectrum and as well as has OCD and has instantly taken to this curriculum. It's incredibly structured, which makes us both ecstatic, and the books are great. The kits are awesome too." And she said, "I'm running my daughter everywhere, and it just fits into our busy schedule." So Kim is right. Bookshark is fully planned. It's a 4-day curriculum, which flexes to match your busy lifestyle. You got that extra day to do whatever you need to do. The detailed instructor's guide lays out everything so clearly that you're prepared to teach in mere minutes each day. Just open your guide, gather your resources, which are included, thank goodness, and you just go. So the curriculum is for ages 4 to 16. You can either buy it as a full package or you can just buy it the parts that you need. They have reading with history, language arts, science, math, and with the Bookshark Literature Rich program, your kids will read 35 to 50 or have read to them books each year. So check out Bookshark.com. You can download free samples or ask for one of their catalogs. So just thank you, Bookshark, for that and for sponsoring this episode. And we're going to bring Shelly back and continue talking about saving time and food. And it's amazing that, you know, you can spend your life in the kitchen if that's where you really want to be.
Right.
But you don't have to eat healthy. And I love that message that, you know, you have the choice. And really, like you were talking about before, it's planning. And planning wisely with your time.
Right. So. And having a good system. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to take a lot of time, but you are not going to magically eat well with a crazy schedule and a tight budget. It just won't happen. If you don't create a solid system for your food life, you're either going to spend more money than you want to, you're going to spend more time than you want to, or you're going to eat worse than you want to. one of those three things or all of them are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's where we were 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, yeah, they, one thing will give, if not more. I like that. Yeah. And it's so easy to fall into those bad habits. I was just talking about that a couple days ago. Just, you know, it's, the lessons God is teaching me in my fight is that I have to fight forward, and because otherwise naturally I will fall back. Mm-hmm. And so you just to focus on where do I want to be? What do I want this to look like? And then how do we go approaching that? And you talked about that just a little while ago, was that you have to look at what is possible, not what's impossible or what I can't eat. You know,
right.
I've been talking about allergy-friendly meals too. Was that an easy mindset for your family to get around? I mean, I know you said with your son that was, you know, required, but you know, how did the rest fall in place?
Yeah. Well, you know, so that was, like I mentioned, 10 or 11 years ago. So when he was approximately 4 or 5 when he was finally diagnosed, and then we overhauled our eating, and there was one kid older than him. So she would have been 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. So they were fairly young, and we already ate pretty healthy.
Yeah.
And so we were used to being health focused and health conscious. We just had a different definition for that back then. Mm-hmm. Sort of morphed and adapted over the years, as yours yes. has as well. I know. Mm-hmm. So when he was diagnosed, he was super ill. I mean, he was throwing up like 25 times a day. Mm-hmm. So, but he was old enough to understand that he felt way better on this new way of eating.
Oh, yeah.
So he took to it right away with really like no fussing at all. Mm-hmm. And now once he became a teenager, he started making his own food choices, and that's a different story, which we won't talk about here.
Yes.
But his sister, who was older, she also took to it really easily, probably because she was old enough to understand how sick her brother was mm-hmm. and to see how much better he was feeling.
Right.
I think the buy-in might have been more difficult if there hadn't been such a profound change in our lives, but it was like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
So we all bought in like right away. And then 7 or 8 years, there's a 7 or 8 year gap between our number two kid and our number three kid.
Mm.
So whenever number three came along and number four, they grew up like this and never even.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, like they didn't have a Pop-Tart till like this year, and they're like, they thought those were just like the best thing ever. And they, anyway, that's
yes.
also another story. So they never had milk or cheese or wheat, or so they didn't really miss it. So we didn't have a lot of friction against it. Mm-hmm. I think because our physical need was so strong and so evident. And the remedy was so clear. I mean, it totally worked.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it hadn't worked and we were just like, maybe we believed we shouldn't eat dairy because it isn't good for you or whatever.
Right.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying if we believed that just philosophically, maybe that'd be harder. But
mm-hmm.
if we just saw such a big change.
Right. Yeah. And we saw the same thing when we went with the anti-candida diet, because my son's autism like was just transformed. I mean, he was a different child. And so we just knew, and my depression went away. So what do you do with that? I mean, it's like,
right.
yeah, these are things we definitely don't want to go back to.
Right.
And so yeah, so that was our big transforming moment years ago.
And that's why I teach, at the beginning of my book, I actually teach people, before you overhaul your food budget, or overhaul your food system so you're spending less time in the kitchen, you really need to know why you're trying to do that.
Yes, I remember you talking about that.
And that has to be really strong in your mm-hmm. heart. Otherwise, you're not going to change, because change is unnatural. We don't want to change. And also we are getting bombarded continuously with food messages from the culture.
Exactly.
And so if we're going to create, if we're going to take a different path than the regular culture with our food life, we have to have a really strong why. Otherwise, it will
it's
not.
It's really easy to go back. Yeah, I was talking to a lady just the other day, and she's like, I have all these yeast infections, and my doctor says I need to, you know, cut out this. And so, I mean, she was talking about these tiny little changes, and I'm like, oh, no, you got to do way more to get rid of that. And she's like,
yeah.
No. And I'm like, okay, you got to buy into this. Yeah. And it's not some tiny little things you can change or buy a different product for these couple things. It's like you said, it's an overhaul and it's dramatic. I mean, we went through withdrawal off of sugars and carbs and, you do have to have this something to hold you tight to, we're going to keep going through this because it's like an addiction you have to get rid of.
Well, and that's why I teach people that they need to know their why, because some people don't want to go that strongly, right? They don't want to go off sugar or caffeine or wheat or dairy. And my message is that's fine. Yeah. And so I teach people, you set your food goals based on your why. So what do you need to accomplish in your life? Maybe you just need to save money right now and that is it. And you're just like, you know what? My family, we can't keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. And okay. So then your why is financial. And so you need to take all of your energy and you need to put it on creating the most frugal system that you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're in the position where I was in when I was homeschooling a preschooler, a first grader, a junior higher, and a high schooler. And I had to get out of the kitchen and on with my life. So I had to create streamlined systems in the kitchen. That was my why. So I created that. Now, my streamlined systems don't allow for culinary magic to happen. You know?
Exactly.
Right?
That's not your big why.
No.
You're going to be on the Food Network soon, right?
No, there's no videos in my kitchen featuring just how awesome my homemade sauces look. So understanding your why will drive the habits that you want to change. And, you know, I'm reading a really good book. I'm telling you that I have 5% left on my battery. So I tried to charge it, but I had a whole bunch of video conferencing today, and video conferencing just kills your battery.
Yes, it does.
So I, oh gosh, what was I saying? Talking about knowing your why, time, money, food. Oh, I'm reading a really good book right now called How Not to Die, and it's actually a proponent of plant-based vegan lifestyle and how that lowers our risk factors in, you know, almost all major disease. Mm-hmm. And in it, he talks about, I'm going to get the statistic a little bit wrong, so do not quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure what he said was, if the average American adds one or two items of produce to their day, they lower their risk factors for all major disease by either 60 or 80%.
Wow.
By increasing your produce by one or two. So you and I are talking about these major overhauls of, you know, these really extreme sort of diets. But I want to bring a message to the average American that maybe you're not ready for that, but maybe if we could just get you to a whole food diet, just a simple whole food diet with two extra fruits or vegetables a day, we could lower your risk factor by 60 to 80%.
That's amazing.
Right. So even just some small changes, and what I teach people is that you really want to make, if you want to make lasting change in your life, really the best thing is incremental changes, little by little. So you make one change and you hold that for a while. Like I teach people, if you want to go off, let's say caffeine and sugar and wheat, and dairy, I share with people in my personal experience, just do one at a time. And try really hard not to do sugar and caffeine at the exact same time.
Yes, because they both have withdrawal factors in them.
They really do. And you're setting yourself up for failure if you take on these massive trips. Mm-hmm. And I'm way more interested, like you are, in helping people create lasting change that they can sustain for a lifetime.
Yeah.
So if I could help you eat a whole food diet and have 3 to 4 fruits or vegetables a day, you know, that's not yet where you exactly want to be, but that's like a massive shift from where you were before. Mm-hmm. Have a little less meat and have a little more beans. Mm-hmm. Have a little less meat and have a little more rice.
Yeah.
Have a little less meat and throw a little more, you know, avocado or whatever. Mm-hmm. And these small changes that we make little by little, layering them over time, will help us create a healthier long-term life.
It sounds so simple, but it really, you know, it really is. And it's making that decision. I'm going to change something. And it's, you have to change those habits, because we eat 3 times a day. We've confirmed this bad habit multiple times a day. And now we have to undo that. And maybe it's something that you've even, you know, from your family of origin, that's how they ate. And so, yeah, it takes huge bits of
it does
power and planning.
And then we have, you know, that also gives us 3 chances every day to create
a new,
you know, we have continuous opportunities to improve on that.
Mm-hmm.
So Peggy, I have 2 options here. I can either go plug my phone in and stand in the corner of my kitchen.
Oh.
Or I'm going to have to go because I'm down to 3%. Which would you rather do?
We can wrap up.
Okay.
That's perfectly fine. And then I'll wrap things up. But thank you so much, Shelley. I'm going to put up your website again. It's dinnerforadollar.co. And Shelley just has lots of really good advice. And like she said, there's that free chapter on how to cook without recipes on there.
And I also, there's something else I have on my site right now, since this is coming out, is I put together a free video series on how to save money on groceries right now during the COVID crisis.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, so I have 10 videos on there, 10 different strategies you can use right now to save money. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it Sensible Food Solutions in Senseless Times.
Awesome.
Because a lot of the strategies we use year round to save money on groceries, they actually don't really work right now.
Yes, right. Exactly.
So mm-hmm. I created 10 videos that are specific to quarantine life and to the challenges that we're facing right now with pricing and supply and all of those issues. So those are all on my site for free. And most of the videos are about, you know, 5 to 10 minutes long. So they're
super
quick
easy
to listen to.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'll be in touch with you too.
All right, take care.
All right. Thanks, Shelley. So yeah, definitely check out Shelley's website and all of the information that she has. And Ashley, I totally missed your conversation. That's okay. You can watch it again, because it'll keep replaying. Great title. Exactly. Yes. Shelley's an inspiration, just with all the things that she's done with food. And so I definitely encourage you to, if you haven't watched this whole video, rewind it, watch it from the beginning. And also check out the video we did in January. You can look at our YouTube channel to find it, much easier than on Facebook, because I don't know where it is on Facebook. It's somewhere way down the feed, let's just put it that way. We are changing up things tonight for Mom's Night Out. If you joined us in the past on the closed link for Mom's Night Out, we had been broadcasting it into our Facebook support group and also onto a closed link on YouTube. We're changing things tonight and starting to do a chat room. So that's going to be using Google Meet, which our nonprofit gets for free. Thank you, Google, for that grant. And so the link is shared in both the support group as well as in our SPED homeschool tribes. So if you're not on Facebook and you still want to find that link, and if you're part of one of our tribes, our SPED Strong tribes, you can find that on our website, by the way. Join one of those tribes. You'll find the link, and then you can join that chat. And we're going to do that every Tuesday night. I will not always be hosting. We're going to be kind of mixing things up with other people from our organization because I'm going to be getting my cancer treatment. So there'll be some time when I will not be available. But anyways, so that's kind of why I'm on this vegan diet as well. But so that's that. We're going to start the mom's night out at 9 o'clock, so in about 10 minutes. So I'm going to pop off after I say a big thank you to Bookshark for sponsoring this episode. They have just been great. And if you don't know anything about Bookshark's curriculum, it's very good for kids that need self-paced. Everything is customizable, and they've got a great program if you don't want to put tons of work into to trying to create something yourself. So definitely an easy way to ease into homeschooling. I know a lot of us, as we homeschool longer, we get very eclectic, and so that's much easier, but not always when you first get started. That seems kind of daunting. So Bookshark has taken that out of the equation for you. So definitely check out their products. So like I said, we'll be starting Mom's Night Out in just a little while. So you can look for that link in the Facebook support group or on one of our Sped Strong tribes on the Jump. If you go to our website at spedhomeschool.com, you can find, it'll say under support tribes, and you can find which region you are in and join one of those jumps. So anyways, I will see you soon there, and we're just going to chat. So I have no particular topic in mind, but it's always good to have some girl time. So hope you're all doing well, and thanks for watching this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. Bye, everybody. Oh, I forgot to say, next week we're going to start talking about online resources, and our guest is Ashley Gilbert, and we're going to talk about protecting your kids online in your homeschool. Some really good topics to be chatting about. So that's coming up for me. So now I'll be going. Bye, everybody.